Please support. This is before the court on writ of prohibition. That standard of review pertaining to writs of prohibition, including those having to do with the transfer of venue, is the abuse of discretion. And an abuse of discretion occurs when the circuit court fails to follow the applicable statutes. This case involves a case of legal malpractice where the defendant failed to file a lawsuit within the period of time for the statute of limitations. The relators are the surviving wife and its children of Sarah Solomonovich. The issue before the court is when the injury is economic in nature, where does the injury occur first, due to the actions, the wrongful acts, or negligent conduct for the purposes of venue pursuant to 508.010 subsection 4. We claim that that exists in the city of St. Louis. We say that there was a claim to be filed in the city of St. Louis under the theory of something more doctrine, which would have allowed that case to be filed in the city of St. Louis.
Well, wasn't venue really appropriate in St. Louis City or county?
Either yes, sir, absolutely, in both of those places. I'm just saying this is where we're saying we would have filed.
Any other place? Those are the...
I think those are the only two. I think the argument, to maybe digress, that venue could be argued by us to be in any county in the state of Missouri is really something that isn't a very logical argument in that regard.
So there's a choice of two counties. The plaintiff gets a chance to choose which one they want to file.
Absolutely. That's our position. Respondent, although the judge said that indeed we have a colorful claim to be filed with the city, focused instead on the defendant's office, his office being located in the county of St. Louis. We believe that the focus on the office of the defendant is incorrect, not supported by the statute. And the other arguments that are brought up by the respondent in its brief about where were the plaintiffs, excuse me, in this case, the relators, where did they live? Where did Mr. Solomonovich die? None of those have any basis in an analysis under the statute. And in fact, one of the arguments that is made by the relator is that there are other situations that will bring up very adverse or very illogical situations. And I submit that that's really the case if you don't follow what we think is the law, and that is, this is an economic loss that occurred in the city of St. Louis when an enforceable judgment was not going to be entered, or St. Louis County.
Right.
But the choice we have, I believe, as Judge Teitelman says, we get the pick, and so we're in the city of St. Louis.
For the audience, for the people from Nevada, there are two different counties. There's the county of St. Louis, and the city of St. Louis is its own county, just for
right.
the people to understand.
Both adjacent.
And the attorney... defendant testified in depositions that there was an advantage perceived for filing the case in St. Louis City.
Yes, Judge Breckenridge, not only that, I think any of us who know the history of 508.010 or who know about St. Louis City or St. Louis County, you would be hard put to argue that that isn't the case. And in fact, one of the arguments the respondent puts in its brief is that this was the whole purpose of 508.010 to take cases out of the city. The defendant had drafted a petition, which he now attempts to avoid by saying, well, his secretary or legal clerk did it, but nonetheless, venue was in the city of St. Louis. To focus on the office of the defendant, to me, seems like an odd argument. What if a Kansas City lawyer, and in these days this happens all the time, a Kansas City lawyer gets this case? Is venue now in Kansas City because his office is in Kansas City? I say this. I say that at 11:59 a.m. of July 19, 2005, there was no harm to my client. By then, a lawsuit technically could have been filed. I don't know how you get in the clerk's office at midnight, but technically, a lawsuit...
Just wait for electronic filing.
Well, very good. Or fax, both of which evidently escaped me at times. But nonetheless, That there's no harm at that point. At 1201, the case is dead. Statute of limitations has run. Respondent says, you look to the empty office of the attorney. Well, the attorney's not there, more than likely, unless we're in trial. But nonetheless, the lawyer's not there. So is it his home? Is it if he's on travel, on vacation? No, it's where the judgment would have been entered.
His alternative argument, I believe, is that if you're alleging an economic injury, and it's the fault is an omission like this, failure to file, that you would look to your residence because that's where your loss of income was, not where the failure to file was.
And the argument to that, I believe, is this. The statute doesn't say that. I don't think that's a proper statutory construction as to that statute. And what do you have in this case where you have a class of potential plaintiffs? What if they're spread all over? I mean, this is not where I think the legislature...
So if you had five different people injured, for instance, and it was... Or five with economic injury or whatever it might have been... you would end up with five different possible venues if you did that.
And if you looked at defendants' offices and there were co-counsel, you could be looking at multiple as well. And I think it's important, all the parties have cited this, what this court has said is that the venue statutes are intended to provide a convenient, logical, and orderly form. Now, if you take a look at that, how could anyone possibly say that the city of St. Louis is not a convenient, logical and orderly forum for this? It is accepted by the respondent court that the case would have been tried in the city of St. Louis. An illegal malpractice case is a case within a case. You try the underlying case and then you try the malpractice case. Almost all of the witnesses, except those that might have to do just with the legal malpractice case, would have been called into the city of St. Louis. That's where the case goes. We've made the argument also that there's a prejudice involved in allowing a St. Louis County jury to decide the facts and as to what a city of St. Louis jury would do. I don't think that's a very strong argument necessarily, but I do think it goes to the convenient, orderly, and logical case.
But the accident occurred in the county.
Happened in St. Louis County.
And there were other connections to the county too, so it could be very logical as well.
If we had decided to file in St. Louis County, then that argument could be made. But as Judge Teitelman said, we have the choice to present it to a jury, and we would have presented it to a city of St. Louis jury had I been able to make that choice. And I think it's clear that Defendant Finney had that choice as well and would have preferred to file in the city.
Since this is a relatively new statute and a question of first impression for us, what's your best authority from any other jurisdiction with similar provision?
Well, we've cited a Florida case, which the statute is not exactly like ours, but does go into when economic harm attributes. I take a different slant on this. I really don't think it's a case of first impression. I think it's a case of statutory interpretation. And I think you go through what those set rules are that everybody cites and that's in our brief, that the legislature intended there to be a change. Obviously, the legislature changes the focus from the identity of the parties, where the actions occur, to where the injury occurred. And I think I want to address a couple of things that are in a respondent's brief that I think leads us away from the focus. Part of their argument is, look, what if you decide that it's St. Louis City, that's the venue of this case, all these bad things are going to happen. And they use one example as, what if they fail to file what they term a good brief? I think that's an easy example. If you fail to file an appellate brief, or you don't file a good brief and you're sued, the economic damage is the same. It's where the court would have entered a verdict or did enter a verdict or where the court didn't enter a verdict on your behalf. It's still there. If you get away and start focusing on the parties and you start focusing on the office of the defendant, you're going to do exactly what the legislature didn't want to do, and that is allow forum shopping. All of a sudden, you're going to have all sorts of arguments as to where this lawsuit should have been brought. There is a logical and orderly and convenient forum. It was the city of St. Louis. And at 12:01 on December 20th of 2005, if you were going to stand, and I know the example isn't exactly, but usually if you're in a car accident, you see where the accident is, you've got a Med-Mal case, you know where that happened. But if you want to be where the injury occurred, it's at the clerk's desk in St. Louis County or St. Louis City. That is where it is. If you're, one of the arguments respondents says is, you know, you would be at his office. He isn't in his office. We don't know where he is because he's not filing his lawsuit. And I believe if you take a look at 508.010 that talks about that injury is defined as exposure or the trauma. Exposure defined in the dictionary is the effect and cause of an action or the financial loss. In the end, an enforceable judgment emanating from the city of the circuit court and the city of St. Louis is where the financial benefit comes if they prevail on the underlying case in the wrongful death action. And there's no two ways around that in my mind. That is where the financial loss is because you are deprived of a judgment coming from that court. And therefore, if that's the case, we would have tried our case in the city. If we had prevailed, we would have had an enforceable judgment. And to argue that it's not logical to be there when the respondent, clearly the judge did an excellent job of reading the something more doctrine and taking a look at the evidence we had presented and said, yes, you could have filed in the city of St. Louis. Is there another question?
Thank you. Thank you, counsel.
May it please the court. At page 3 of respondent's order, he addressed the clear intent of the Litigation Reform Act. Now, maybe some of us wouldn't describe it with the respondent's words, flair, whatever you want to call it. But I think we all agree that the intent was, first of all, to simplify venue disputes. Secondly, to limit venue to one county or as few counties as possible. And third, to avoid all of this venue motion practice that went on under the old act and apparently now is still going on, witnessed by this case. I think we all agree that the literal read of this statute does not cover this case. And what do I mean by the literal read? Well, you can compare it to 538.232, which was part of the act and which was part of the, which was the venue for health care providers. They said, that statute says, for purposes of determining venue under section 508.010, the plaintiff shall be considered injured by the health care provider, in cases of injury or death arising out of the rendering of service or failure to render service, it's going to be in the first county treatment. I think that that is evidence of what the intent was here with this new statute. So what was respondent to do? Well, respondent did what we always do. He reviewed the entire act.
Let's take your example. Render service or failure to render service. We had a case, I think it was an EMS case, where they took the, maybe it was the Court of Appeals, the person was injured and they didn't take, they took him to Boone County or some other county, and they maybe a malpractice in the county they took him to, but they didn't take him to the closest county. So they failed to render service in the closest county, they didn't render any service at all, and they took it to the county further away, and they may have been malpractice there. Don't you have a choice then? If you have two counties, the closest one could have rendered service, but said, no, we don't want it. You take it to another county, and then the other county, is too late, or they commit malpractice. Don't you have a choice then?
I certainly see the debate, but as I see it, it's where they took them, not where they failed to take them.
Well, but if they took it to the one that failed to give service, that county might have been the county might have saved the person's life.
Maybe the doctor whispered to the ambulance driver. I don't know. But the point is, under the statute, the first treatment was in the county where they took him. And that would be the position, as I see it, under the statute.
The other thing, too, is, I mean, certainly we read the newspapers and everything else, but we can't really read the mind of a legislature outside of what they actually write and pass and is signed by the governor. So we need to read that in context. And if they leave out something or leave something still open for choice, then the assumption is they meant to do that.
Yeah, and let me address that.
Especially if it's clear language. Especially if it's clear language.
Yeah, let me address that. I believe that when you read this statute, venue shall be in the county where plaintiff was first injured by the wrongful acts or negligent conduct alleged in the action. What that means is venue is limited to the place where the first connection between injury and negligence happens. Relator's argument that could have, should have, would have really does not have that connection. We're talking about a loss here.
But what you mentioned before are failure to give service. So right. Failure to give service could be not filing within the statute of limitations in the city of St. Louis.
Right, right. And relator's analysis of how that occurs is really immaterial about could have, should have, would have. What if my client, and by the way, we have a defense that this failed to file, and we don't think there was a meritorious cause of action. But what if my client had said in a deposition, no, I wouldn't have filed this in the city? Well, what is Mr. Fopoli supposed to do, though, then, under this new statute? Is he supposed to get an expert? Then we have an evidentiary hearing on venue about where is the best place that it should have been filed? I don't think that's what the legislature intended.
But your argument is that the place of injury in a case of omission has to be the place where that last act necessary to commit the tort occurred. And do our cases equate those two? Don't they usually distinguish between where the tortious conduct occurred and where the injury occurred? They may be the same, but they're different concepts.
And you can draw on the death statute here. If you look at the word trauma in the statute, now, Mr. Fopoli said that the cause of action died. Mm-hmm. Okay? What did the plaintiff lose? They lost an alleged meritorious cause of action. A cause of action is a thing. It's a property right. Mm-hmm. Trauma allegedly happened to this property right. Okay? And trauma is defined mm-hmm. as injury occurring from an agent without. So where did this trauma, this...
Why is it the injury to failure to file the lawsuit in either of the two counties?
Pardon me?
Why is it the injury, the trauma, or whatever you want to call it, the failure to file the lawsuit in either of the two counties, City of St. Louis or St. Louis County?
Because the injury occurs when the statute expires. That's when the death occurred.
Yeah. Right, but that's the failure... The failure to file is the injury, and that occurred at 1201 after the statute of limitations.
I know that's right. It's, but I beg to differ with all due respect. The death occurred. The filing merely prolongs the death.
So what if you have multiple offices? So you got three names on the non-file petition of lawyers, and one's in the county office, one's in the city office, one's out in St. Charles. Is it the associate who really did all the work, or is it the senior partner? How do we decide? Doesn't your office one have a problem, and that it doesn't really depend on anything happening? The lawyer could be traveling. They could be any place. It's a real problem figuring out where it should be, but I don't see that the lawyer's office, where they happen to be, they may have multiple offices. They could be traveling. I don't see how that
it should be
the
where
place.
The lawyer should have fulfilled his obligation. And that's
well,
by
I
filing.
I certainly see your point, and we certainly wish the statute would have been better written, obviously. But Judge, where are we going to go with the should have standard?
No, it's a problem figuring out where. But so is there you, one other alternative you mentioned is where the plaintiff lives?
Yes, and I think that's logical and makes some sense under these facts.
But the underlying action, you don't deny that the underlying action could have been filed in the city.
Well. I take issue with that. Respondent made that finding, and that's made under the pretense of joinder test. I take issue with it. He made that finding. It is what it is.
You know, one of the problems that this statute presents is that it appears, you could infer, that the people writing the statute we're thinking of bodily injury.
Right.
And so we're trying to figure out, well, what about a defamation injury? What about a malpractice injury? And so the hypothetical that Mr. Spatoli presented to us is an interesting one, and that is, if the lawyer in this case had his only office in Kansas City, Missouri, would we have had to sue him, this plaintiff, in Kansas City, Missouri, rather than the place where, I mean, obviously the residence of the plaintiff makes no difference whatsoever, but taking them, or Mrs. The widow at her work, she lives in St. Louis County.
Right.
So, and the action would have been filed either in the city or the county or whatever. But in your theory, the act of negligence occurred, I mean, the first injury occurred in the law office in Kansas City.
Yeah, and I think you can draw on the defamation venue statute. That's the only statute we have that deals with economic injury. And that statute was not changed in the Litigation Reform Act.
Except a failure to defame, you can't sue for. So.
Well, that's true, yeah. But it is an economic injury. So what are we going to, what we try to draw and we try to learn from it? Getting back to the argument that we made in our brief on behalf of the respondent, that you can look to where the plaintiff was at the time of the loss. The plaintiff lived in St. Louis County. Where do you sustain a loss? You sustain it where you are, not where you aren't.
What about if the lawsuit had been filed, but malpractice had been committed that caused it, say, to be dismissed or to be lost clearly as a result of malpractice? And so then where would the injury be?
If
the lawsuit had been filed, say, in the city,
yep,
and then dismissed a week later because of some serious problem or failure by the attorney, where would the injury be?
In the lawyer's office. That's because the lawyer failed to. I had this case before. I defended a lawyer who failed to get a case off the city dismissal docket back in the era when they were just willy-nilly dismissing cases and not notifying
right.
anyone. It would be in the lawyer's office because how do you decide where he failed to keep track of the docket?
But I don't really care where he failed. I care where the injury was to the client.
But that's where the connection is made, and the statute requires some sort of connection. The statute requires the first place where the injury and the negligent acts come together. It says, plaintiff was first injured by the wrongful acts or negligent conduct alleged in the action. So there's got to be some connection. Under plaintiff's
theory, he failed to go to the courthouse to file the suit. To file the suit.
We go to the courthouse to file the suit, unless it's electronic. But yes, we go to the courthouse to file the suit. But where do you fail to do that?
They don't have electronic filing in the city or the county yet.
Yet.
Federal courts?
It'll be a while.
Federal courts, but not the
city. Federal court,
clearly, your injury, if your suit is dismissed improperly, has to be the dismissal of the suit.
If the suit is dismissed improperly through the lawyer's negligence, then I submit to you, and the lawyer's negligence is failing to file something to get it off the docket, I submit to you that the lawyer's negligence occurred in the office. Because that's the connection.
Your opposing counsel argues that it is more sensible to have a jury in St. Louis assess what damages a jury in St. Louis might have allowed, rather than a jury in St. Louis County to try and assess what a jury in some other location may allow. What's your response to that argument?
I just think that's an incredibly scary proposition. Lawyers are not allowed in legal malpractice to come in and say, I think that case had a settlement value of this.
Well, you put the shoe on the other foot and you say St. Louis County, that the St. Louis City jury would have to determine what a St. Louis County jury would decide in the case.
I think that's a fiction, Judge. I mean, how can you say that? It's a loss of a cause of action. It's tried where it's supposed to be tried. And how do you adduce evidence that this case had a better value in the city? How do you prove that to a county jury? To me, that's a distinction.
Well, you don't have to make that argument if you try it to a city jury at all. I mean, the argument would be, here's what this case is. You're the
right.
same people that would have decided it had it been originally filed What are you going to do with that case within the case?
Well, that case would have been tried probably in 2005, 2006, this underlying case. It's 2008. And I can submit, I can tell you, Judge, from a lawyer who practices in trial in the city, things have changed down there. So how do you know 5 years ago what a city jury is today? It's not. It's not.
But you bring in Sprung versus Nightwear, when the malpractice case was brought against the attorney in the default case.
In the default.
Bob Ritter testified on behalf of the defense attorney about the value of the case. That's what you're looking at. What's the value of the case?
Yeah, I know Bob gave that testimony, and I wondered how, you know, I don't think it would be admissible in a legal malpractice trial for failing to settle or failing to file a lawsuit by having an expert say, and oh, by the way, the case should have been filed in the city. It was worth more.
Well, they testified what the value of the case was.
The demographics don't bear that out anymore, but you have, I think in a sense you have to be sort of careful what you wish for, because there's a lot of lawyers with offices in the city of St. Louis, and if one of those lawyers messes up a case in Osage County, that case is going to be tried in the city.
Well,
on your theory.
Yeah, and I think that if you want to go back and try to look at this statute and say, where can we find an intent here? If you turn to the word trauma and you say to yourself, well, trauma can mean death, and that where did the death occur? It occurred in my client's office. Then you're there. I have 21 seconds, unless there are any more questions, I'll sit down.
Thank you, counsel.
Thanks.
I have several points. Judge Wolf, you kind of took the thunder from me about wishing, you know, watching what you're wishing for. I heard respondents' lawyers say that where the plaintiffs were at 12:01 on December 20th of 2005 is where venue could be. So, as a plaintiff's lawyer, am I okay to move my client and say, will you please stand down at the street corner in the city of St. Louis, pick whatever corner you want at 12:01, because that's where I want to try this lawsuit. We're also focusing on something that I find very strange, and the trial judge is an excellent judge. We're focusing on an office. An office doesn't file a lawsuit. It's the lawyer. It's not where the lawyer chose to office. And what we've got here is, and Mr. Westling's an excellent attorney, but I always find a weakness in someone's argument where they tell you what the problem is, and then when you go to step two as to what the result is, the problem's even bigger. We're going to look at the offices of all the attorneys involved.
What if the case were a transactional malpractice? How does your concept
I think perform? It depends on what the transactional finance is, the financial loss is, and where it is. One of the arguments they make is a stockbroker in New York. Well, actually, the statute takes care of that if it's a cause of action that accrues outside the state of Missouri. They talk about an accountant. Well, the accountant actually doesn't file your income tax returns in Washington, D.C.
How about transactional attorney malpractice?
And I think you've got to read, and I may differ with Judge Wolf about this, and there's a law review article that I think says it more eloquently than I will, that I think you have to take a look at trauma and exposure, and it's not limited to a personal injury case. I think you have to take financial loss as that. If there is a transactional event that occurs at a stockbroker's office where he makes a bad trade, then I think it's at his office where he first does something that causes you economic harm. That's my position. I don't want to digress, but I have a case right now where the issue is, where is the loss when a forged check is issued? Is it the argument of the defendant is it's where the bank paid the note, the money ultimately in Boone County? I say it's where it's presented to the bank in the city of St. Louis because of Holder and due course. A lot of companies, as we all know, do their banking in North and South Carolina. That's not where the venue would be. The legislature said first, and I don't know how you get around that. And as to the argument about the city jury trying a city case, that point, I think, goes to the argument of respondent that it's illogical to be in the city of St. Louis. I think that's where the focus of that argument is, that it is a logical, orderly, and convenient venue to be tried.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you for your time.